Welcome to Torati Mecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be studying Zechariah, Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. Now, Zechariah, Perek Zayin, and Perek Chet, Chapter 7 and Chapter 8, are one unit, and they're really fascinating prakim. This is the place where a question is posed, finally: when do we stop fasting on Tisha B'Av? Should we still fast on the 9th of Av if the Beit HaMikdash is almost built? So let's start reading, and as we're reading, we'll talk about the context of the question. So the perek starts in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayhi bishnat arba l'Daryavesh HaMelech, so it's in the fourth year of King Darius, Hayah davar Hashem el Zechariah, Hashem spoke to Zechariah, ba'arba l'chodesh hatish'i b'kislev. So it's the fourth day of the ninth month of Kislev in the fourth year of Darius. So it's a good opportunity for us to review the dates a little bit of this whole Shivat Zion, return to Zion time period. So just bringing us back, 586 BCE was the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, the first temple. 539, about 50 years later, Cyrus, who was the Persian king who had conquered the Babylonians, makes an important announcement that you could see in the Cyrus cylinder. And he said, Jews, you can go back home. You have religious freedom. And they do. He actually encourages them to go, encourages people to donate. And a small group of Jews, not everybody, most stay in the diaspora, but they go back. They begin to repair the Mizbeach. Seems that they bring korbanot, but because of the opposition of the Samaritans, the construction stops and it kind of languishes. And doubts start to come up from the people. This is what Haggai started to address, which was, you know, is this really it? This can't really be the geula that we pictured. By 520 BCE, Haggai and Zechariah come, which is almost 20 years after that. And we're now in the second year of Darius, who is the Persian king at the time, and Haggai and Zechariah come and they encourage the people, no, no, this is it. This is the time. Build, I promise. This is going to be redemptive. And our last dated prophecy that we had from Zechariah was on the 24th of Shvat in the second year of King Darius. So we can assume, I think, that these first six chapters of Zechariah with all the visions that we just saw were from this preliminary stage. And this was the stage where they had started building the Beit HaMikdash, and now we get a two-year break. So now coming in 2 years later, we're talking about 518 BCE, and now we're in middle, like we're really right in the middle of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, because we know that the Chanukah Bayit, the actual consecration, is in 516 BCE, 2 years later. So this means that Haggai and Zechariah came, they encouraged people to start building, the people built, and now we're 2 years into that building, so we're really, probably there's like substantive, not probably, there is substantive Beit HaMikdash built, and in another 2 years, we're going to finish up. So the Beit HaMikdash now, you could see it, we have the vision of it. So Pasuk Bet, Vayishlach, Beit El, Sar Etzer, Virege Melech, Vanshav, Lichalot et Pnei Hashem. So it seems like there's a little bit of a debate about whether Beit El is a name of a person, or the way most of the Mefarshim translate it, they sent to Beit El, to the Bayit of Hashem, these people sent Sar Etzer and Rege Melech, these people were sent in order to ask a question of Hashem. So presumably these people were coming from Babylonia. Pasuk Gimel, Lemur, this is the question, El HaKohanim, Asher Levet Hashem, Tzvakot, V'El HaNevi'im. So they're sending their question, interestingly, it's a halachic question, but they're turning to the Kohanim and also to the prophets. And here's the question, Ha'ebche b'chodesh ha'chamishi, should we cry on the fifth month? Fifth month is Av. So the people are asking, should we still cry on Tisha B'Av? Hi nazer kasher asiti zeh kamashanim? Should we still, nazer is like nazir, should we still abstain, meaning from wine, the way that we have for all of these years? This is the question. This is a message from Babel. Do we still need to be doing all the things we've been doing for the last 70 years? The crying, the fasting on Tisha B'Av, not having wine, not having meat. And I think they're asking about Tisha B'Av specifically because if Tisha B'Av is able to be nullified, then all the other fasts will as well. And it's the other fasts are going to come up later, but the focus here is on Tisha B'Av, I think, because that is the most chamor, it's the most stringent of all the fasts. Now, I'll just point out here, it's interesting that this question is coming from Babel, and it kind of raises the question, is this an insider question or an outsider question, right? Like when we saw the prophecies of Haggai, certainly he was speaking to the people in Israel who were doubting, could this actually be the redemption? Here, it's a little bit different. These are the people who chose not to come up, and now they're sending this question like, hey, how do we evaluate everything that you guys are doing? So it's not totally clear whether we should evaluate this question as a sincere question by the people who are working hard to bring out the redemption, or is the way the Abarbanel understands it is more that it's a question from someone who's an outsider looking in. Either way, the way that Zachariah is going to answer it, I think, is has a takeaway. He turns the question to everybody. So I think we can look at it as a real question about Geula, which is we have so much, but is this really it? And if this is really it, should we start treating it like a time of redemption when we know that all the fast days that mourn the Beit HaMikdash are going to turn into happy days? So what do we do? This is a very kind of current question because when we think about the state of Israel and how much we've accomplished and our sovereignty there, right? It feels a little funny to say Nachem on Tisha B'Av, which talks about all the ruins of Jerusalem. You know, you go to Jerusalem today, it's a beautiful built-up city. So we can certainly relate to this question. Just to kind of drive that point home, I want to read a short excerpt. This is from Rabbi Haskell Lookstein, has a beautiful essay. I encourage you to read it. It's in the intro to the Koren keynote, the Lamentations that we say on Tisha B'Av. And he describes he and his wife, Audrey, going to Israel in Tisha B'Av following 1967. So I'm going to read you two paragraphs. So he says, we arrived in Tel Aviv on Erev Tisha B'Av, August 14th, 1967, just in time to eat a meal before the fast and go to Rabbi Shlomo Goren's synagogue for the Tisha B'Av night service. The mood in Israel was anything but Tisha B'Av-like. There was simply no feeling of mourning or sadness. On the contrary, there was a feeling of exhilaration, confidence, excitement, and redemption. It was clear that Israelis were in no mood to observe or even to feel the sadness and mourning of Tisha B'Av. The service proceeded rather routinely. Rabbi Goren read Eicha, and then the congregation began the first of the Lamentations, meaning the keynote that we say following the reading of Eicha. They got through about half of the stanzas, and then they stopped, and everybody proceeded to leave shul. The mood of the country was one of liberation and redemption, with people feeling that they had been saved from, God forbid, a second Holocaust, and with the sensation that not only were we saved, but that the state of Israel had expanded its territory, perhaps threefold, and its holiest sites were back in our hands, all this because of the hatred and mistakes of intractable foes. How could one feel depressed and mournful on Tisha B'Av? Now, the question about now is a different question than the question that people were asking in the time of the Second Temple, because it's actually kind of the reverse, right? Now, our question is, we have sovereignty, we have Medina Israel, we have the State of Israel, but we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. We haven't rebuilt the temple. So what's our status now? In the time period of Zechariah, when these people were coming to ask this question, the opposite question. We have the Beit HaMikdash, right? The Beit HaMikdash is almost fully built, but we don't have sovereignty. We're controlled by the Persian Empire. So does this count as Geula? So we're actually not going to get an answer until Parachet in the next chapter. But interestingly, Hashem, through the voice of his prophet Zechariah, almost evades the question. And I think this is very deliberate, but let's see what he says. So Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Vayihi davar Hashem tzvakot elai lemor. So Hashem came to me saying, Emor el kol am haaretz ve'el ha-kohanim lemor. So the message is directed to everybody, all of the people of the land, and the kohanim. Clearly the kohanim didn't have an answer to this. So Hashem asks two rhetorical questions. This is now in middle pasuk hey. Kitzamtem v'safod b'chamishi uvashvi'i ze shivim shana. Right? So when you have fasted and you have mourned in the fifth month, that's Tisha B'Av, uvashvi'i, that's Tzom Gedalia. So he's adding Tzom Gedalia, which is in the seventh month. So since you've done that for these past 70 years, Hatzom Tzamtani Ani, have I, Hashem, also fasted? Or presumably, I think there's different ways to interpret this, but are you fasting for me, for my benefit? Hashem is almost saying rhetorically here, I never cared about the fasting to begin with. The fasting is something that you took upon yourselves in order to do tshuva, presumably, right? Like it's the Beit HaMikdash hasn't been rebuilt. We're mourning it. We're trying to do tshuva so we could earn the next Beit HaMikdash. So that's something that people do in order to encourage yourselves. So Hashem is saying, that's not a me thing, that's a you thing. Abarbanel, by the way, reads it a little bit differently, same point, but he says that, you know, when Hashem says, did I fast, he's saying the things that are most important are the things that a Jew does to imitate Hashem. So don't look at the things I don't do, I don't fast, but do the things I actually care about, like taking care of people who have needs, taking care of the widow, the orphan, etc. Okay, the point is then underscored in Pasuk Vav, V'chi tochlu, v'chi tishu, right? When you eat and when you drink, halo atema ochlim, v'atema shotim. You're the ones who are eating and drinking. It's not me who's eating and drinking. And then he continues, so now, what do I care about? Pasuk Zayin, halo etedvarim asher kara Hashem biyad ha-neviyim harishonim. The things I care about are the things that I called to the Nevi'im Rishonim, the earlier prophets. Now, it's not what we now call Nevi'im Rishonim when we look at it in a Tanakh, but Nevi'im Rishonim, Zechariah means, we've had this before, are the prophets that came before me, like Yeshayahu, like Yirmiyahu. And he's saying, the things that matter to me are the things that Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu said. And Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, remember, also said, I don't care about the superficial acts, right? Yeshayahu said, I don't care about your korbanot. When your korbanot have no meaning, that doesn't matter to me. So Hashem here is also saying, I don't really care about the fast. What I care about, and by the way, Yirmiyahu says that straight out, the Haftorah that we read on fast days. So Hashem is saying, what I really care about are all the things that I told Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu when they communicated with you. So let's review those. Pasuk Chet, Vayihi Davar Hashem El Zechariah Lemor. This is what Hashem said to Zechariah. Kol Marshem Tzvakot, so said Hashem Lemor. Mishpat Emet Shifotu, judge with justice. Vechesed V'rachmim Asu Ish Et Achav, and treat each other with kindness and with mercy. Both of those aspects, right? These are words that come up again and again in Yeshayahu, Tzedakah, Mishpat, right? You have to have justice. You also have to have kindness. You also have to have looking out for people. Pasuk Yud, V'amanav Yatom, Ger V'ani, Al Ta'ashku, don't oppress the widow, the orphan, the convert, the person who's poor. These are all the people who are most vulnerable in society. Don't oppress them. It's easy to forget about them. Don't. V'ra'at ish achiv al tachshavu b'levavchem. And don't, and even further than that, not only don't oppress them, don't think badly about them in your hearts. Yud Aleph, but what does he say? V'yimanu lahakshiv. But what happened, and this is before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, this is the reason the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, they refused to listen. Veitnu katef soreret, and they turned like a rebellious shoulder towards me, towards the prophets. Va'azneim hechbidu, they closed up their ears. Mishmoa, vilibam samu shamir, this is Yudbet, mishmoa et ha-Torah v'et ha-Dvarim asher shalach Hashem tzvakot b'rucho b'yan ha-Nevim ha-Rishonim. They didn't listen to all the prophets who were coming with all the words of Hashem. And therefore, there was a great ketzef. There was an anger from Hashem. And we continue with our history lesson in 13, Yud Gimel. Vayihi kasher kara v'lo shameyu. And because I called, meaning Hashem called through his prophets and they didn't listen, then you'll call to me and I won't listen to you. That's what Hashem said. And he ends, the Pasuk ends on kind of a low note in our history. In Pasuk Yudalit of Esarim al Kol HaGoyim, and so I scattered you among all the nations, Asher lo yida'um b'ha'aretz nishma achareihem me'avor, the land was left behind them desolate, me'avor v'shov, people who came were coming and going, v'yisimu eretz chemda lishma, and a land of chemda, a land of delight, was turned into desolation. Now, this is not something Hashem is promising will happen to them. The opposite, Hashem is saying, this is what happened to your forefathers when they missed the point, when Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu came to them. Their point always was, don't get stuck in the superficial things, like the sacrifices, when you're bringing them without meaning. Not that they're superficial and that they don't have meaning, but they don't have meaning if they don't reflect who you are as a person. Remember what I told them, tzedek u'mishpat, those are the things I actually care about. And now Zechariah is repeating that message to these people. Why you keep asking me about the fast? What you should be thinking about is, are you worthy as a community? Are you conducting your community with justice and with kindness? What's interesting here, by the way, and I'll use this just kind of as a close, is that Zechariah doesn't actually give an answer yet. Now, we are going to continue in Perek Chet, but I think it is deliberate, right? They came with a halachic shaila, like, what should we do? The Beit HaMikdash is built, but we don't have sovereignty. Hashem's Kedusha is not resting in it. Do we fast on Tisha B'Av? Right? It's a halachic thing coming to the Rebbe for a shaila. And Hashem, through Zechariah, is saying, you're getting caught up in the details, but you're missing the big picture. You're actually asking the wrong question, because I don't really care about all the fasts. That's not what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about, are you a nation of tzedek and mishpat? So stop asking questions about the fast. Start asking the questions that really matter. It's interesting. This just reminds me, I'm actually in middle of 90 Seconds, which is the book about Eli Beer and how he started Hatzalah, very inspiring book. And it's just interesting, in the beginning, Eli Beer originally was a volunteer at Magen David Adom, which is an amazing service in Israel, an ambulance service that goes, emergency service that goes to help people who are in crisis. But he saw that it was taking too long to get to people, and people were dying because the ambulances couldn't get to them quickly enough. So he came up with a whole other system. You should read the book about how to get to people. His goal was to get to people in 90 seconds, and he wanted to implement it. But the problem was that there was going to be a lot of bureaucracy for all different reasons to try to implement his system. And his refrain always is, why are we getting stuck on all that? The goal here is to save lives. Okay, ultimately, he was able to put it through, even get through all the, kind of the details of what needed to be done. But the refrain, I keep thinking about that, where he said, we're getting stuck on things like, whose job is this? Whose materials are we using? And it's not that those aren't important questions, but our main question is, are we saving lives? Are we doing the best thing we possibly can to save lives? And in a little bit of a different way, this is the way that Hashem deflects their question by saying, yeah, you're asking a good halachic shaila, but is that really the point? Are you really looking into the things that matter? So we'll continue with this question when we study the next parak, Perek Chet. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmat, Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Saud.